You're listening to The Daily Catch, Long Island's beer and malt update. This is the show that answers the questions, what's brewing on Long Island and where to find it? I'm Donovan Hall.
I'm Rich Thatcher.
And on today's show, we'll be taking you to Spuytendievel. It's a cool beer bar in Brooklyn. If you haven't been there, you should check it out. And our featured beer today is Southampton's Bière de Garde. But first, let me tell you a little bit about how to get a hold of us. This show relies on input from you. And, you know, we're only a couple of guys, and we both have real jobs, well, for now. And we need you to send us your reports. Have you visited a Long Island brew pub? Well, if you have, tell us about it. Tell us what's on tap. You can send an email or send an MP3. Tell us what's new or what you liked and what you didn't. And was the have you been to a good beer bar or a beer store or spotted something that a fellow Long Island beer enthusiast should know about? Well, speak up. It's your time to tell everybody about good beer on Long Island, and we'll get the word out. So contact me at donovanhall@gmail.com. That's donovanhall@gmail.com. And if you can't remember that or you don't know how to spell my name, I've got a brand new domain name. Can you believe this? I realize people are having trouble spelling my name. So write this down, thebeerhall.net. And if you can't spell that, there's nothing I can do for you. So thebeerhall.net, and there's a contact button right up there on the right. Just go there and click on it. As always, you can find all the current information there on the website. That's thebeerhall.net. And if you want daily updates about what's going on, there's Catch and Release. That's our blog. Both Rich and I cover Long Island beer, scotch, and restaurants. And there's some other content there that you can look at. And something else you can do is to join the Long Island beer enthusiasts or Long Island malt enthusiasts. We also drink plenty of scotch and whiskey, as well as beer. We like malt in all of its glorious forms. And our plan is to meet once a month and sample and discuss the best beer and whiskey we can find. So go to thebeerhall.net and find more information about how to sign up and where our next meetings will be. In fact, in our calendar section, I'll be telling you more about essentially our inaugural event, a beer tasting, beer tasting and food pairing at a Dex restaurant in Rocky Point. Okay, that is what is on tap, and now we will be tasting our featured beer. What is our featured beer today, Rich? I've droned on along. It's time for you to talk.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We're looking at the Southampton Bière de Garde, mm-hmm. coming in its fancy 750 milliliter bottle. Picture of the farm. Could that be your farm, Donovan?
I wish it were my farm. It is a beautiful farm. The last few days I've been thinking farm ever since talking with Mike. In fact, just a couple of days ago, Mike gave us some hops. He's a big hop farmer. And last year, John Harvard's brewed a beer with Long Island grown hops from Mike's yard, and so now I have some of his hops. He plucked off some rhizomes for me, and we put them out there. So I've been in a big farm mood, and so we're drinking a Bière de Garde, which is sort of one of these French farmhouse ales. We were just sampling this before turning on the mics to get our impression. And what did you notice about the aroma? I mean, the first thing that hit, you know.
And very strong malt character that comes
exactly,
right up front.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a sweet malty aroma. It's so pronounced. If you want to know what malt smells like, put your nose in the Southampton Bière de Garde. That is malt. What else are you getting from the beer, Reg?
In tasting it, it had a tremendous amount of sweetness on the end, the caramel and the chocolates and little bitter parts in here and there. You could also taste the hops.
Yeah.
It was very plain. It was exciting, and it was also visually exciting to look at, and much like you would look at champagne, You look at, you examine, and you see, even after tasting it a couple of times, you see a multitude of thousands of little bubbles emitting from the bottom of the glass,
right?
Which is a sign of good champagne.
Indeed.
Like Veuve Clicquot, Moët Chandon. Yeah.
And, actually, I was getting a little bit of vanilla, too. You mentioned other kinds of aroma elements as well.
Yeah, there was elements of coffee, but there was like the bitterness of the hops, and bitterness like bitter coffee, like when you have coffee in the morning black, has elements like that.
That's right. It does. What I think is really amazing about this beer is that for something that has such a sweet aroma, it's very light bodied. And I was wondering about this the effervescence. It's so bubbly, and I'm wondering if that the bubbliness is lifting the body, making the body apparently more light than it really is.
Don't know. I can putting up my glass to the light, I can see a tremendous amount of bubbles coming up from the bottom.
Yeah.
Which is, if this was champagne, this would be considered the top rate.
A very nice champagne.
Like Veuve Clicquot, Krug, Bollinger. Yeah, one of those. And even after tasting it, you would think that the bubbles would disappear after that with your contact of your mouth to the beer, but no, it's continuing just flowing with bubbles from the bottom.
Which is, it's actually right on style for for a beer de garde. The aroma is supposed to be malty and sweet. It's supposed to have high carbonation, and the flavor there's supposed to be some toasty notes, some toffee-like caramel sweetness. So, and I think I'm getting all of these things. It's a very, very complex beer, and according to the style, it should also be medium to medium full body. I'm actually getting, I guess I would say it's medium. It's certainly not heavy at all.
No.
There's nothing heavy about this. So, it's a good drinking beer. I didn't know if the bottle indicated what the alcohol content was on this, but most bière de garde are between 6 and 8%.
7.2.
Okay, so this is right in the middle. Not tremendously high. A lot of examples I think would probably go higher. I did have the quintessential, the defining beer in this class is the Genlain. From France, and that I had at the Blind Tiger. They had that on tap.
That's impressive.
I'd never had a bière de garde on tap, let alone Genlain on tap. I'd always had Genlain in the bottle. And one thing I think that most people will find, if you buy continental bière de gardes, you'll find that they they have this, they're overly oxidized because usually they've been sitting around for a while. I don't think they move really well. They'll have kind of this musty cellar-like flavor and aroma, and a lot of it comes from I think it's the same chemical that comes from, like, in the wine industry. It's called corking,
right?
The same kind of thing happens to these bière de gardes and a lot of other beers. It's not just bière de garde, but that it's kind of thought of in this country as being part of the style of bière de garde to have these sorts of tainting factors in the beer. And if you drink Genlain on tap, like I did at the Blind Tiger, it ain't there. It's an absolutely clean, fresh beer, just like this. It's an amazing beer, and I was amazed at how light it was. I recalled that it was a darker color, but the bière de gardes they range from all from light to amber to brown. I think this is probably an amber color. I would say,
yeah, I would say it's amber. Mm-hmm,
definitely. All right, so let's. I think we've said all we can say about bière de garde for the moment. We'll be drinking it as we do the show today, and I'm going to let Rich enjoy his bière de garde while I sacrifice myself and read you the Long Island beer calendar. Now, there's all kinds of events this month, so get out your pencil and see if you can plug in. May 12th is, I guess that's the day after you hear this podcast, is a beer fest at the at Mike Deinert's house. If you're in the beer club, that's Brewers East End Revival, or you're interested in homebrewing, contact someone in the beer club, and that's at hbd.org/beer, and that gives you contact information for the beer club. And the following weekend, on the 19th, that's a Saturday, at 9 a.m., the beer club, Brewers East End Revival, will be having their annual brew-off. All day they'll be tasting beers and judging them, and you know, basically handing out awards and medals. And people from all over the country have submitted their beers, and they'll be attentively tasted and annotated on that day. Also on that day is the Spring Craft Beer Festival at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. The first tasting session starts at 12 noon. The second session starts at 6 p.m. And you can buy your tickets ahead of time at the Spring Craft Beer Festival website, and that's the link to that is in the show notes, so, or the Long Island Beer Calendar also, which you can find either on thebeerhall.net or on Catch and Release. That's my blog. So go to thebeerhall.net and find that information there. Now, on the 21st is the beer meeting. That's Brewers East End Revival. That's the homebrew club. That's going to be meeting at John Harvard's Brew House in Lake Grove. That's a Monday, the 21st, at 7:30 p.m. We usually meet at the bar for a pint or two ahead of time, and then we move into the back room for the actual meeting. So if you ever thought you wanted to homebrew or were just curious about what homebrewing is, making beer at home, show up for the meeting and meet other people who do the same thing. And networking on this subject is invaluable. It's a way to really get speeded up on your own homebrewing. Interestingly enough, on the same day, May 21st, there's a lot of competing events this month. On the same day, May 21st, out in Huntington, Canterbury Ales is having a Southampton beer dinner. And that's going to be six beers from Southampton, along with a five-course meal, and you should reserve your reserve your seats ahead of time. So, you advance tickets are required. It's $70 per person, and that includes your taxes and gratuity. And to order by phone, that's 631-549-4404, or go to the Canterbury Ales website, and if you don't know what that is, visit the Long Island Beer Guide at thebeerhall.net and click on Long Island. And actually, you know, there has been, by the time you hear this, a Southampton beer dinner at Southampton itself, which I have attended. So we'll be talking more about that later. May 23rd is the beer and food tasting at Dex American Restaurant in Rocky Point, and that's a Wednesday, and this will be basically a five course also, five beers paired with five appetizers, and the price there is $30, more in the line with a budget for the working class folks, and I'll be there along with a bunch of my friends, and we'll be talking about good beer and good food, and hopefully this event will get our Long Island Malt Enthusiasts group kickstarted. Unintentionally, this is going head-to-head with Stone Brewing Company's tasting down at Barbecue in Patchogue, and their tasting will start at 6 o'clock, I believe, and that you can get more information about that event from Barbecue's website. That's barbecue.com. And, or you can give them a call at 631-447-7744. And as usual, all of these events are listed on the Long Island Beer Calendar, and you can find the Long Island Beer Calendar at thebeerhall.net. And just click on Long Island, and you'll find the calendar. All right, that is the Beer Calendar. Kept it short this week, didn't I, Rich?
Yes, you did a good job.
All right. fantastic. I'm trying to tighten this up for you guys and make it a little more interesting. Now, Rich and I are going to talk about a little trip we took into Brooklyn a few weeks ago. And we recorded a lot of stuff, and we have a pre-recorded segment from our trip to Spuytendyvel. And this is a nice little beer bar in Brooklyn. And what was the context of this visit?
It was visiting Spuytendyvel. How's it, is that the right pronunciation?
That's how I say it. Okay. Spuytendyvel.
Okay. Well, it was on the what were we doing? Oh, well, we started at...
We were visiting breweries, actually. Right. We had a lot of beer at this point.
That's right. So. That's why you have to stutter and remember just how we did that at that point. But, we'd been to Six Points Brewery, which is a fantastic tour.
Which we heard about last week.
Yes.
Did that segment.
Yes, and then we went to the Brooklyn Brewery.
Which was actually 2 weeks ago. I did it out of order for some reason.
And then we went to Mugg's Ale House.
Mugg's Ale House.
For dinner. And then we went to Spuytendyvel and finished off at Barcade.
Which is next week, by the way. We'll be. Okay. I have a pre-recorded segment from Barcade for next week.
Oh, okay. So I won't spoil the fun for that one.
Yeah, we'll save that.
But Spuytendyvel was... a really interesting place with a tremendous reach in terms of their menu of all kinds of weird things that I'd never seen before, like red rice sake, which as well as all kinds
of... It's not just a beer bar, actually. That's a good point, because they had a really interesting selection, not only of sakes, but of other kinds of drinks. In fact, the first thing I ordered was an artisanal French bottle-conditioned cider.
Yeah, we had tasted that, and then they had they didn't have a lot listed to eat. Most of it was cheese boards, and the place had was extremely crowded. You know, thank goodness they opened up their backyard and turned it into like a little sitting garden, because otherwise everyone would have spilled out into the streets.
Yeah, I think Spuytendyvel is easily smaller than my house.
Yeah, much smaller. And it also had a vibe of, as I described it earlier, as a... Jamaican restaurant. That's right. What it looked like. Yeah, right. With the cream colors and the reds and the things like that, and a very low counter,
right?
Which lent itself to easy food service.
Yeah, you walk in and there's enough room for maybe three or four tables up front. These are small tables, right. Jammed up against the wall,
and then
you have to kind of scoot by the bar.
Right, everyone's crowded against the the bar, and there's probably a good 15, 30 people. Maybe more, and there was a lot more people in the back outside having a smoke and sitting around in a mixed bag of garden furniture.
Yeah, every time I go to Spuytendyvel, I get really disoriented. In fact, I shouldn't, because they do supply a beer menu online. So if I had thought ahead, I should have printed it out, because every time I go there, I stand gaping at this. They have this chalkboard where they've written down everything they have on hand, and I'm standing there reading that, going, "Have I had that? Have I tried which ones?" And there's so many things I want to drink. Making up my mind is just impossible when you're standing there and the bartender's looking at you, going, "Okay, time to make a decision."
Not to mention that it was quite expensive.
Right? Yes, it's all you're paying. Almost Manhattan prices in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and there really wasn't much to eat besides the cheese platters, from what I remember. And I guess if you wanted to eat, you had to go to their barbecue place across the street.
Now, are they really related? Or
Okay, they're owned by the same people. It's
okay, Spuytendyvel Barbecue.
It's called Feta Sow.
Oh, okay. Feta Sow?
Yeah. Okay. Fat Pig.
And,
have not been there. It got great reviews in the newspapers as well as in local magazines.
Okay. All right. So let's play this pre-recorded segment so Rich and I can get back to drinking our Bière de Garde.
We are at Spuytendyvel in Brooklyn. And I'm here with Rich and Mike. And Mike's having a red rice sake, which most interesting sake I've ever tasted. Mike has a comment here.
The red rice sake is sent from the gods.
In fact, I would say that the gods, the beer gods, have smiled on us today. We have had beautiful weather. It's nice and warm here in Brooklyn. Earlier, the skies were absolutely clear. It's a bit overcast right now, but who cares? The sun's down. And Rich is here. He's having a nice cask-conditioned ale and has kindly procured a cheese plate for us, consisting of some very yummy-sounding cheeses. It hadn't arrived yet, but my mouth is watering just thinking about it. I am drinking a cider, actually. The full title of this thing is a cider Boucher Brut de Normandie. It's a 2005 Etienne Dupont. That's the producer of the cider. Interestingly enough, I had not realized that the proper glassware for this particular cider is a teacup. It's actually a white ceramic teacup. And Mike raised the interesting possibility that this cider is actually intended to be served warm. Mine's being served at refrigerator temperatures now, which is pleasant. It's a slightly sweet cider. It's a billed as brut, so it's not as sweet as some of the ciders I've had, but it's quite refreshing. It's a nice change from the long list of beers that we have sampled today. So I'm giving my palate a little bit of a break from beer. Mike's saying something here.
I'd like to think that my sake is actually a grain beverage and more akin to a beer than some would like to think. So I'm just having a different style, a more ancient style of beer here.
And I would agree with that. I would say that sake is more in the beer world than in the wine world. Definitely because, as we all know, wine is a fermented fruit, and sake is definitely a fermented grain. So definitely within the sphere of beer world. Of course, what is my cider doing? Because that is a fermented fruit. So is that a wine? Interestingly enough, the craft beer world embraces ciders and meads. Mead, of course, is not fermented from fruit, but also it's not fermented from a grain. Yes. Here's Mike.
I would absolutely enjoy a blend of a sweet traditional mead with this red rice wine. I think the two would complement each other. Again, sent from the gods.
In fact, I think this whole experience. We're sitting out here at the in the essentially a beer garden at the rear of Spuiten Duyvel. The sky is slightly overcast, tinged with orange. The beginnings of iron scaffolding across the way. It's a sort of almost a surrealistic vista from here, and well, you kind of get the idea. There's a bamboo fence. There's a lot of patio furniture and people sitting around brickwork with English ivy and a nice cool evening atmosphere, and we're all drinking excellent beers. So this has been three guys at Spuiten Duyvel.
Was that true to form, or were we a little out of it?
I think there was a little touch of something there that was going on.
You know, I was thinking about sake and cider. You know, actually, it was working that night because we did when we tried the sake cider blend, and I liked it. But I'm wondering that at that point in the evening, if I could have drank just about anything, but.
It could have been Budweiser.
No, I don't think so. It would have to have been something pretty strong to cut through what we had had already. So, but that wasn't the end of the evening. We had quite an adventure ahead of us, and we'll be talking more about those adventures on next week's show. And I'll have Rich back to talk about these things, since he was there. An eyewitness to all of the festivities. Now, the last segment that I have planned for today is another mixing it up thing. I've been doing some beer blending, and I had three Weyerbacher beers that I wanted to blend. But something I was doing earlier this evening was over on the Spirit World this month, being the month of May. I'm taking Mexican beers and making beer cocktails with Mexican beers, and I've been working on a Michelada since last weekend, and I've made it several different ways now, and I found probably the least offensive way to make a Michelada using Negro Modelo, some habanero hot sauce, Worcestershire sauce, and a lime, and some salt. And I let Rich taste it. I mean, what do you think?
It's still in the experimental stage.
Still in the experimental stage. Okay. This particular recipe was recommended to me by one of the readers at the Spirit World, and they actually drink this on a regular basis. It's possible that I didn't mix it properly, but...
they're still experimenting as well.
They're still experimenting. Okay, all right. I have a long way to go to convert people to beer cocktails. So I'm going to play my Mixing It Up segment. This is turning back the clock a little bit, and we'll be mixing our strong beers. I was trying to do some strong beer mixes. My affinity for barley wines is about, you know, this big, very small. And so I like to put stuff in my barley wine to make it taste good. And this is what I came up with to handle the Weyerbacher Blithering Idiot.
For the last couple of weeks, I've been writing about blending beers with barley wine. And a friend of mine gave me a call over, I guess, last week, and was talking about a pub that he had gone to. He'd seen some beer blends, beer cocktails on the menu. One of them was a barley wine mix, but there were three beers. There was a barley wine mixed with a stout and a lager. And what I was thinking might be interesting to do is I have three beers from Weyerbacher Brewery in Pennsylvania. And my version of that is made with the barley wine Blithering Idiot, the Imperial Stout Old Heathen, and Mary Monk's Strong Golden Ale. So this is a very highly alcoholic beer blend, and I was thinking maybe about calling it a Killer Tiger, because the other drink was called a Tiger Tail, and I thought that was because it was layered. This blend that I made is not layered at all. In fact, it looks a little bit like cola if you just look at it. And the taste is, I think, more complex than any of the ones on their own. It's got the bitterness and sweetness from the barley wine tempered with the fullness and roastiness of the Imperial Stout, and the Mary Monk's contributes kind of an interesting banana-ish candy sugar aroma to the whole thing. So it's got a nice aroma, and the taste is rather, shall we say, I would say it's rather flat tasting. It's not very descriptive, but the first thing that I get is the stout, the roastiness of the stout, and the finishing sweetness of the barley wine. But it works.
And next week, we'll be taking you to Barcade. So be sure to push the play button on your MP3 player, iPod, whatever it is you have. Next week, Rich and I will take you to Barcade. So that's it for the Daily Catch. I'm Donovan Hall, and I'm here with Rich Thatcher. You can contact me by using the links on my website. It's donovanhall.net, or if you can't spell my name, it's thebeerhall.com. donovanhall@gmail.net. Just send me an email at donovanhall@gmail.com, or you can also just click on the Contact Me link on thebeerhall.net. The Daily Catch is a production of Angler Radio, and the theme music was composed by Jonah Dempsey, and you can listen to more of his music at revolutionvoid.com. You have a great day, and thanks for listening. And remember, drink the beer in the glass.